No, we usually sing at this time, but the scripture passage this morning is rather lengthy. It's two chapters, and so I'm going to read the first one, and we'll sing, and then I'll read the second one. It's Jeremiah chapter 27 in your Bibles, continuing our journey through the weeping prophet. Jeremiah 27, page 654 in the Pew Bibles. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Thus the Lord said to me, make yourself straps and yoke bars and put them around your neck. Send word to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the sons of Ammon, the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon, by the hand of the envoys who have come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Give them this charge for their masters. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, this is what you shall say to your masters. It is I who by my great power and my outstretched arm have made the earth with men and animals that are on the earth, and I give it to whomever it seems right to me. Now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I have given him also the beasts of the field to serve him. All the nations shall serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. Then many nations and great kings shall make him their slave. But if any nation or kingdom will not serve this Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon and put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have consumed it by his hand. So do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your fortune tellers, or your sorcerers who are saying to you, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you with the result that you will be removed far from your land and I will drive you out and you will perish. But any nation that will bring its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will leave in its own land to work it and dwell there, declares the Lord. To Zedekiah, king of Judah, I spoke in like manner. Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you and your people die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, as the Lord has spoken concerning any nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Do not listen to the words of the prophets who are saying to you, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you. I have not sent them, declares the Lord, but they are prophesying falsely in my name, with the result that I will drive you out and you will perish, and the prophets who are prophesying to you. Then I spoke to all the priests, and to all this people saying, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets who are prophesying to you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought back from Babylon. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city become a desolation? If they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, then let them intercede with the Lord of hosts that the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah, and in Jerusalem may not go to Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, the sea, the stands, and the rest of the vessels that are left in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take away when he took into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah, and in Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon and remain there until the day when I visit them, declares the Lord. Then I will bring them back and restore them to this place. And continuing our scripture reading now, Jeremiah chapter 28. In that same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah, the prophet, in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke bars from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke them. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within 2 years. But Jeremiah the prophet went his way. Sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke bars from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Go tell Hananiah, Thus says the Lord, You have broken wooden bars, but you have made in their place bars of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put upon the neck of all these nations an iron yoke to serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. For I have given to him even the beasts of the field. And Jeremiah the prophet said to the prophet Hananiah, Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. And you have made this people trust a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have uttered rebellion against the Lord. In that same year, in the seventh month, the prophet Hananiah died. Congregation of Christ, you seldom come across a movie which paints a sympathetic picture of a traitor or of someone who collaborated with the enemy. But occasionally, you do find a film which tries to do that. Such films are always failures, based far more on fiction, speculation, and artistic license than they are on historical truth. Like the movie released back in 2003, entitled Benedict Arnold, A Question of Honor. The film sought to create sympathy for and to justify the treason committed by a man who, up to that time, was one of America's Revolutionary War heroes. It didn't work. Audiences don't mind their heroes being embellished into bigger-than-life characters, doing things which everybody knows they didn't really do. They don't mind that kind of picture being painted, even if it's untrue. But no amount of sympathetic treatment or taking liberty with history will cause an audience to embrace a traitor as a hero. This morning our scripture passage records the message which God gave to Jeremiah about Judah's defeat and captivity at the hands of the Babylonians. It was an unpatriotic sounding message. A message which to the ears of those who heard it in Jerusalem sounded a lot like treason. But Jeremiah declared it because it was true. It was the word of the Lord. The prophecy we're looking at is set in the days of Judah's last king before the captivity. And on the back of your bulletins, you can find the last five kings of Judah. I think that helps us to keep these things straight because remember, the book of Jeremiah goes from one time of one king to another. It's not chronological. So you've got it there to help you out. Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem in 597 BC and took the gold from the temple. And when he did so, he transported to Babylon Jehoiachin, the king, or Jeconiah as he's called in this passage, and the royal family, and the best of the people of Judah. This would be the time that Daniel and his companions went off in exile to Babylon. But the temple was left standing. And there were still a number of consecrated vessels left in the temple. Not the gold ones, but still temple vessels. And more, Nebuchadnezzar left a descendant of David on the throne, Zedekiah, one of the sons of Josiah. He was a puppet king, to be sure. He had no other choice than to serve the king of Babylon. Well, the prophecies of chapters 27 and 28 are set in those days, after that large group of the best and finest people from Jerusalem and Judah had been taken captive to Babylon. At the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, God tells Jeremiah to make a yoke and to strap it on himself and to walk around Jerusalem. Of course, when people see Jeremiah wearing the yoke, they ask, Jeremiah, what's with the yoke? And that was exactly the kind of opening Jeremiah was waiting for. Let me tell you what this yoke is all about, and then he'd give him his message. Jeremiah proclaimed the message God gave him to three audiences. Verse 3 says that the first was to the envoys of the kingdoms surrounding Judah who came to Jerusalem to meet with Zedekiah. The second audience was with Zedekiah himself, verse 12. And the third audience was with the priests and all the people, verse 16. Jeremiah's message had 5 points. The first was that God is the Lord of all the earth. He made the earth, and the earth and all people and animals belong to Him, and He gives power to whoever it seems good in His eyes to bestow it upon. The second point was that God has chosen to bestow power on Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. This was the part of the message that everybody hated. It would be like saying that God is pleased to bestow power on Kim Jong-il. Or if you want to go back in history to the days before World War II, it'd be like saying that God is pleased to empower Adolf Hitler. Saying that God raised up Nebuchadnezzar as his servant was bad enough. But the third point was that Judah needed to give themselves up into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 12. Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. That sounded like treason to the ears of the people of Judah. Had Jeremiah called them to rise up and fight, to form resistance groups against the Babylonians, the people of his day would have called him a patriot. What do you call someone who tells you that God has raised up the enemy you fear most, and that the only way for you to come out of it alive is by surrendering yourself to him. Point four is that Babylon itself will fall. Verse 7 says it. All the nations shall serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. And then many nations and kings shall make him their slave. Part 5 is the application. Therefore, don't listen to the prophets who tell you, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. If anyone tells you otherwise, don't believe them. They're prophesying a lie. So that was Jeremiah's sermon, which he preached, wearing a yoke. And he preached it, as we've noted, to three different audiences. The fact that the first audience was the envoys in Jerusalem from the small kingdoms which made up Judah's neighbors, and they're all listed there, raises the question, what are they in Jerusalem for? Well, knowing the subsequent history, it would not be an improbable or far-fetched conjecture to suppose that they were meeting with Zedekiah to plan a revolt against the king of Babylon. And so the message is preached to the envoys from the surrounding kingdoms. And when Jeremiah preaches it to them, he says in the fifth point, not only not to listen to the prophets who tell you otherwise, but not to listen to the diviners, dreamers, fortune tellers, or sorcerers, because those are the kind of people pagan kings look to for guidance. When he speaks to Zedekiah and preaches to the priests and the people, he mentions only the prophets because God's people aren't supposed to be going to fortune tellers and sorcerers and the like. When Jeremiah addresses the priests in verse 16, he specifically warns them against believing the prophets which say, "Behold, the vessels of the Lord's house now will shortly be brought back from Babylon." He's speaking about the golden vessels which Nebuchadnezzar looted and carried off to Babylon in 597 BC. Instead, Jeremiah tells them they should pray. Verse 18. If they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, then let them intercede with the Lord of hosts, that the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem, may not go to Babylon. He goes on to say that what Nebuchadnezzar didn't take in 597 when he pillaged the city, he would come back and take. And those things would remain in Babylon until the day when God visits his people and restores them to this place. Now the reason we read chapter 28 this morning along with chapter 27 is because chapter 28 is a particular illustration of what was prophesied in chapter 27. A prophet by the name of Hananiah, the son of Azur, confronted Jeremiah in the temple of the Lord. And in the presence of the priests and the people, he made this prophecy. He says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will also bring back to this place Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Not only did Hananiah flatly contradict Jeremiah's claim that the only way out for the people of Judah was to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, Hananiah told them that God would break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar within 2 years. All the vessels of the house of the Lord would be returned to their rightful place, and Jeconiah, the rightful king, would return from captivity. Both prophets declared their message by saying, "Thus says the Lord." So if you lived in Jerusalem at that time, which prophet would you follow? Would you believe the prophet who told you to surrender to the enemy? That surrender was the only way of surviving? Or would you believe the prophet who told you that God was going to restore things to how they were before and defeat your enemy within 2 years? How do you deal with conflicting prophecies from two prophets, each one who claims to speak in the name of the Lord? Human nature today isn't any different from what it was back in Jeremiah's time. Most people would side with the prophet whose message they found most self-assuring. They'd choose the message they liked best. Maybe they wouldn't say it out loud, but in their minds they'd think, "I can't tell which one is true, so I'll choose the one that pleases me best." The problem is that both positions can't be simultaneously true. And choosing on the basis of what you like is a totally unreliable method of ascertaining the truth. Jeremiah's reaction to Hananiah's prophecy is precious. Look at verse 6, chapter 28. "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles." If you're going to choose what you would wish to be true, Jeremiah says, "I totally agree. I'm wishing for the same thing. Amen. So be it." But it's not going to happen. Our wanting something to be true just doesn't make it to be true. But what it can do is it can set us up to be deceived. Jeremiah answered in verses 7 to 9. "Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient time prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." Jeremiah gives two tests by which you can tell whether a prophet is speaking the word of the Lord. The first one's in verse 8. Is what the prophet says in agreement with what the true prophets from of old have said? Does it agree with what Abraham and Moses and Samuel and the other prophets said? Very obviously, what Hananiah said doesn't stack up. God had said through Moses in Deuteronomy 28 that if Israel was unfaithful to the covenant, God would shower his blessings. If they were faithful to the covenant, God would shower his blessings on them. But if they disobeyed the covenant, if they followed other gods, the curses of the covenant would come on them. Let me just read part of what Moses wrote. He's speaking about God's judgment if Israel should violate that covenant, follow other gods. It's Deuteronomy 28, 32 to 37. Moses wrote, "Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people. While your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all day long, but you will be helpless. A nation that you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your ground and all of your labors, and you shall only be oppressed and crushed continually, so that you're driven mad by the sight of what your eyes see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and on the legs with grievous boils, of which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you set over you, to a nation that neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone. And you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples where the Lord will lead you away. Now all you have to do is to compare Hananiah's words with what Moses said in Deuteronomy 28 and truthfully answer the question, have we been obedient to the covenant or disobedient? And once you answer that question and look at what Moses wrote, you know that Hananiah is a lying prophet. Because basically what Hananiah is saying is, it doesn't matter that you've broken the covenant. God is going to bless you anyway. It's the message that our fallen nature wants to hear. We can keep our sin, and God will still bless us. But such a message is and always has been behind Satan's deception. You will not die. Your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. Stolen water is sweet. Come, let us drink our fill of love. My husband is not home. The Apostle Paul writes, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. The lie is that you can do those things and get away with them and still be blessed by God. Hananiah was saying, don't worry. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Within 2 years, everything will be restored and all will be right with the kingdom of Judah. Jeremiah's first test was, does it agree with the word of the prophets, which you know spoke the word of the Lord? The second test is found in verse 9. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. If what the prophet says will happen doesn't happen, then that prophet has not spoken by the mouth of the Lord. The fact that his prediction failed to come true makes him a false prophet. Now you might say, how does that help us? If we have to wait to see whether what a prophet says comes true or not, how can I choose between two prophets saying opposite things, like Jeremiah and Hananiah? By the way, using this test was how the old prophet from Judah figured out that the man of God from Judah who spoke against Jeroboam in his altar was really telling the truth. You can go read that story sometime in 1 Kings 13. We read it a few weeks past in the downstairs Sunday school class, but that's how he figured it out. Not really in a good way. He used deception. But actually, this second test is quite helpful. Granted, it won't tell you at the moment who to believe, whether to believe Jeremiah or Hananiah. But once a prophet is spoken and his word turns out to be false, then you know never to listen to that prophet again. The problem is that people keep listening to prophets whose predictions have not come true. They keep listening to people like Harold Camping, who repeatedly has set dates for the return of Christ and the end of the world, and has been wrong, wrong, wrong. People still read and listen to the words of Joseph Smith, the Mormon Church, which sprang from Joseph Smith, has a living prophet who can change in an instant which of Joseph Smith's prophecies are considered as scripture. Why does the Mormon Church have a canon of scripture which is constantly changing? Well, because it has to. Because Joseph Smith made many prophecies that didn't come true. So the record has to be constantly tinkered with and adjusted. If a prophet declares, this is the word of the Lord, this is what's going to happen, and it doesn't happen, don't believe that prophet ever again. In Jeremiah's case, it would only be 2 years at the most before you could tell who truly spoke for God. If what Hananiah said didn't happen in the time frame that Hananiah himself had set out, it'd be perfectly plain that he was a false prophet. He was simply telling people what they wanted to hear. Well, Hananiah broke Jeremiah's yoke to further stress that God was going to break the yoke which Babylon had put on the necks of the people of Judah. But the Lord told Hananiah through Jeremiah, don't worry about that yoke. You broke a yoke of wood. I'm going to put you into a yoke of iron. Actually, verse 13 of chapter 28 says this, thus says the Lord, you have broken wooden bars, but you have made in their place bars of iron. Notice how he says it? You, Hananiah, have made in their place a yoke of iron. By giving the people false hopes, by telling them that they're not going into captivity to Babylon, you have closed their eyes to the truth. You have made the yoke of wood into a yoke of iron. Verse 14. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put upon the necks of all these nations an iron yoke to serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. For I have given to him even the beasts of the field. And then Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah. Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. And you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you will die because you have uttered rebellion against the Lord. The word of the Lord through Jeremiah said that Hananiah would die within a year. It wouldn't take 2 years to find out whether Jeremiah or Hananiah was right. In fact, it only took 2 months. That's what verse 17 tells you. Hananiah dies in the seventh month. Go back to verse 1. The chapter opens in the fifth month. Jeremiah had delivered a message which was unpatriotic and treasonous sounding as anyone could imagine. Hananiah's message, you can be sure, won him the accolades of the people. But the difference was that what Jeremiah said was true. We must pay attention to the scriptures that are constantly saying to us, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The reason we're apt to be deceived is because we don't use the tests that Jeremiah and the true prophets of the Lord in Scripture have given us about how to discern a false prophet from one who speaks the truth. The reason why we're apt to be deceived is because we decide to believe what seems good in our own eyes, and we leave the question, is it true, unanswered. Our Lord Jesus said, beware of false prophets. He didn't say that his church would never have to worry about that kind of thing that went on in Jeremiah's time, because by then the age of prophecy had long since ended. No, he said false prophets will be around until the end. We need to be like the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation in this regard. Jesus said of that church, I know your works, your toil and patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. And we must test our hearts to make sure that we're not inclined to simply follow what we like rather than what is true and comes from the Lord. It isn't bad to be a patriot. It can be a good thing. It isn't bad to hope for good things or good outcomes. But truth, the truth as it is in Jesus and comes from the Word of God, must be above all else. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, when we read about your people at the time of the Babylonians coming in and sending them off into captivity, and we put ourselves in their position, Lord, we realize that we're just like them. We opt for the pleasant message. A lot of times we throw up our hands and we say, how can I know which one's true? I'm going to go with the one I like. Lord, help us to follow the instruction we have in this passage by the word, by the mouth of your prophet Jeremiah, to test things by the Scripture, Lord, to test it by what the Word of God has always said. And if we come across someone who says, this is the Word of the Lord, and it is not, help us to realize, Lord, that they are false and we shouldn't listen to them. Lord, help us to set a guard over our hearts so that we're not led by our hearts. Our world tells us, Lord, follow your heart. Lord, our hearts are full of sin. Our hearts are deceptive. Help us to follow Jesus, His Word, which is truth and light, a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. In His name we pray. Amen.